जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन जारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे। जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम। जय गौरानिताय 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 जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदो जय उदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Actually, Maharaj was supposed to speak today, but then Pran Govind Prabhu, and he couldn't attend because of his health issue. And Pran Govind Prabhu just asked me like 30 minutes ago to give the class. So it takes me like weeks to prepare for one class. But now I had like 30 minutes, so I definitely did not get a chance to prepare. But Prabhu asked me, so we have to follow the devotees. So that's why I'm sitting here. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to do any justice to the verses that we are going to read. But I have some notes from Maharaj that he sent. So I'll repeat some of those notes that he sent over. And whatever Krishna desires, so we'll speak based on that. There's so many wonderful devotees here, so I'm sure we can leave like last 15 minutes or so for discussion and reflections from other devotees here present. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 13th chapter, 18th verse. So Prabhu will read Sanskrit for 18th and rest of them all translations and purports. Okay. इति अभिध्यायतो नाश Vivarat Sahasang Sanagha. Varaha Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Saha Sangha. Varaha Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Saha Sangha. Varaha Toko Niragad. Anu Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Sahasanaga. Varaha Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Sahasanaga. Varaha Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Sahasanaga. Varaha Toko Niragad. Angushta Parimanakaha. Iti Abhidhyayato Nasha. Vivarat Sahasanaga. Varaha Toko Niragat. Angushta Parimanaka.
Word by word translation. Iti, thus. Abhidhyayataha, while thinking, nasa vivarat, from the nostrils, sahasa, all of a sudden, anagha, O sinless one, varaha toka, a minute form of varaha, a boar, Niragat, came out. Angushta, the upper portion of the thumb. Parimanakaha, of the measurement. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. So we'll read till 22nd.
Should we just read the translation or the Sanskrit also? Oh, sorry, Sanskrit, just the translation. Okay. 19th. O descendant of Bharata, while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation as gigantic as a great elephant. 20. Struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, began to argue in various ways. 21. Is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? It is very wonderful that he has come from my nose. 22nd. First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Brahma is the supermost person in the universe, and he had never before experienced such a form, he could guess that the wonderful appearance of the boar was an incarnation of Vishnu. The uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. So, I was thinking that we can do a quick recap of what has happened in this chapter so far. This chapter describes as the appearance of Lord Varaha, and in the first verse, Sukhdev Goswami is saying that, O King, after hearing all these most virtuous topics from the sage Maitreya, Vidura inquired further on the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he adored to hear. And Vidura said, O great sage, what did Swambhuva, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? So in the first two verses, Vidura is asking, what did Swambhuva Manu do after he got his wife? And then in the third verse, he's asking, O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. So, Vidura is very eager to hear about the Manu, Swambhuva Manu, and all his kind of line of children and all that he want to hear about him, because those topics are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this section of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the process of hearing Krishna Katha. And so in the fourth verse, which is one of the very wonderful verses of this chapter, it's described, persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards his devotees liberation. So this verse is describing the importance of hearing Krishna Katha, hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and Srila Prabhupada is glorifying and saying, transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. I was hearing in a lecture that the whole process of hearing is actually the topmost form of bhakti. It's described as the Swarup Siddha Bhakti. And there are different forms of bhakti, and Swarup Siddha Bhakti is considered as the topmost form of bhakti, in which the devotee is actually hearing Krishna Katha continuously and without stoppage. And with that continuous hearing of Krishna Katha, they are also able to remember the Lord 24 hours. And Srila Prabhupada many times describes that we should remember the Supreme Lord 24 hours a day. And it all starts from this continuous hearing process of Krishna Katha, and especially from a bona fide spiritual master or a pure devotee. And that's why Krishna sends us a spiritual master, because through that process we can hear. He is a representative of the Supreme Lord, and with that representative we can hear about Krishna. Otherwise, if we try to directly hear Krishna, we may commit a mistake or we may commit an offense. And only through a spiritual master, through hearing from a spiritual master, we can really understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and can meditate on those pastimes. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment. Undoubtedly, the Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures, but they hardly know about it because they are deluded by the illusory material energy. So the Paramatma is inside of all our hearts. Even the non-devotees have Paramatma inside their heart. And Paramatma is just an observer. He's just, as Srila Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita in one of the purports, that Paramatma is like, there are two birds on a tree. One bird is actually the one who's performing the activities, and the other bird is actually observing the activities. And the bird that is observing the activities is Paramatma. But for a devotee, he goes further. Our devotee can realize Krishna within his or her heart by the process of hearing. And that's why this is one of the most important practices of Krishna consciousness that we all follow, is to hear. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita, and hear from the pure devotees. Because then we can realize Krishna very quickly. So in the fifth verse, Maitreya is replying, and he's saying, Sukadeva Goswami said, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna was pleased to place his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura, because Vidura was very meek and gentle. The sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words, and being influenced by his spirit, he is attempting to speak. And in the sixth verse, he basically, 6th to 8th verse, Manu is asking Brahma. And he's saying that the Maitreya said to Vidura, after his appearance, Manu, the father of mankind, along with his wife, thus addressed the reservoir of Vedic wisdom, Brahma. So there, Manu is now asking question to Brahma. He's saying that you are the father of all living entities and the source of their subsistence. So because they are all born of you, please order us how we may be able to render service to you. And he's asking, O worshipful one, please give us your direction for the execution of duty within our working capacity, so that we can follow it for fame in this life and progress in the next. So he's asking, how can we please you? Manu is asking Lord Brahma, how can we please you? So that, one, we can get fame in this life, and number two, better destination in the next life. So these are the two things that Manu is asking, fame and better destination. Now for a devotee, fame is not very important. It's not a motivation that we need to have. But for Manu, it's important because he's one of the persons created by Lord Brahma, and his purpose is to create more living beings. So for him it's important, but for a pure devotee, fame is actually not a motivation. It actually is one of the, considered as one of the mixed bhakti. It's considered as mixed bhakti in the mode of passion, because there are different forms of bhakti we can do, and there is a form of bhakti we can do even in mode of ignorance. There's a form of bhakti that can be done in passion and then goodness. And fame is considered as one of the mode of passion, bhakti in the mode of passion. So it's considered as a mixed bhakti. So then after that, from 9th to 13th verse, Brahma is instructing Manu. And he's saying that I'm very pleased with your qualities because you are very surrendered, you're sane, and you are beyond the limit of envy. And that's why I'm very pleased with you, Brahma says to Manu. And then he, in the verse 11, he gives him three instructions. And in those three instructions, he said, number one, you should beget children similar to you in quality. So first he's describing the qualities of Manu, and then in his instructions he's saying you should beget children similar to you in quality. And number two, rule the earth religiously. And number three, worship the Lord through sacrifices. So it gives him three instructions. And then in the 12th verse, he's saying that by doing this, by thus protecting the population, you will be pleased, you will actually please both me and the Supreme Lord. So Manu is going to Brahma, Manu is just created by Lord Brahma, but then, and he's reaching out to him, and Brahma, Lord Brahma is actually making sure that he's, whatever activities Manu is doing, is not only pleasing to him, but it should also please the Supreme Lord. So if he follows those three instructions, it will please both Lord Brahma and the Supreme Lord. Then in 13, there's a question, which is a very important question actually. This, in the 13th verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, it says, is this form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. So again, this is another important verse, which, because earlier we heard about the process of hearing, and now this verse talks about the our activities as a devotee is only to please the Supreme Lord. And as I mentioned before, the best, the highest form of bhakti is actually pleasing the Supreme Lord. In every activity, whatever we are doing, even when we are doing our morning activities or brushing our teeth or doing anything, it's all about pleasing the Supreme Lord. And if there is any other motivation of like fame or honor, or it can be envy or any other motivation, actually puts us into the lower forms of bhakti. It is bhakti. It will help us progress, but it will not help us progress in a quick way. It will be a very slow process of bhakti. And that's why the verse also says, therefore, one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interest. That is, our self-interest, our own interest is to please the Supreme Lord, because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And by pleasing the Supreme Lord, that is our real self-interest, because we are servants of the Supreme Lord. And if we don't do that, then any activity that actually is not pleasing to the Supreme Lord is slowing us down in progressing in our Krishna consciousness. So, and then further in the 14th to 15th verse, Manu replies that I accept your order. And then he requests Lord Brahma to please retrieve the earth. And in 16th and 17th verse, Brahma thinks about how to retrieve the earth. And then in the 18th and 19th that we read today, Brahma and his sons Varaha appears. First of all, Varaha appears from the nose in the size of the thumb. And then in 20 to 22, Brahma and his sons speculating about the boar. They're speculating who is he? Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He came in the form of a thumb, but slowly he's growing. So who is he? So they are speculating. So I want to read Maharaj's notes that he sent over for this lecture. And Maharaj highlights this verse where it says, Thana Triyag Ani Deva Jana Vatirer Lokan Vibhavasi Hasi Jagat Praptepan Dharma Maha Purna Pasi.
So actually because of the copy, the note did not come out perfectly. But the verse translation is, in this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations.
So Maharaj is highlighting the point of boar incarnation. So in this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demonic principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. And Maharaj highlighted this, he recounts something that happened in 1980, an exchange between Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj and one Sunday guest person. The guest asked how Krishna appeared in such a strange looking form as that of Lord Jagannath, saying that it appeared to be an idol. But the Swami didn't miss a beat, wryly responding that Krishna can appear in so many species, so many forms. So this is his idol form of incarnation. So Krishna can appear in any form that he desires. And there is also the well-known shloka 1.3.28 that summarizes the mission of Krishna's incarnations. Ete cha amsa kalapamsa Krishnastu bhagavan swayam Indrari vyakulam lokam nideyanti yuge yuge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either planetary portions or portions of the planetary portions of the Lord. But Lord Shri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theist. So, after describing all the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, and Sukhdev Goswami describes the Paribhasha Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appears in many different incarnations. Moreover, despite the extraordinary status of a true incarnation, avatar, there are innumerable avatars. O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable. This is coming from Bhagavatam as well, 1.3.26. O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. So, also the fact that after this chapter, there will be three more focused on the background of this Leela. There will be more chapters describing this Leela. The Hiranyaksha narrative itself resumes with chapter 17, and then chapters 18 and 19 describe the actual battle between these two extraordinary personalities. To better understand the current Leela, we may at once take advantage of the hindsight that will be provided further in this chapter by verse 31 and its purport, which says, Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon, although the demon tried to fight with the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Vedic literatures describe the incarnation of Lord Varaha Boar in two different devastations, namely the Chakshusha devastation and Swambhuva devastation. This particular appearance of the boar incarnation actually took place in Swambhuva devastation, when all planets other than the higher ones, Jana, Mahar, and Satya, merged in the water of devastation. This particular incarnation of the boar was seen by the inhabitants of the planets mentioned above. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the sage Maitreya amalgamated both the boar incarnation in different devastations and summarized them in description to Vidura. So I will stop here, and I've read the notes from Maharaj, and we recapped the chapter a little bit of where we are right now. And see if anyone has any reflections or comments or any corrections based on what I said. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Bol. So the first part of the section you read about that they were explaining Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, and then the dynasty that would follow. So sometimes in that setting, like for example, when we say Manu is ruling the whole earth with the population, we have to remember behind our head that this is the first day of Brahma. Creation is just taking place. Manu and Shatarupa, they're the first two human, well, they're the 10 mind-born sages of Brahma. So those are the first people. And then you have Manu and Shatrupa. So there's not more people in the world for Manu to rule about, you know. Then his dynasty would come down, Priyavrata, you know, and then it would explain the geography of the earth and the universe with Priyavrata. You know, through his chariot, he created the ditches and so forth. So sometimes when we're discussing Bhagavatam, we have to keep these in mind, picture. We're talking about the beginning of creation, stuff like that. So, like if we go say, you know, Manu is ruling the whole earth, stuff like that, we got to reflect a little bit on what we're talking about. And even if we're explaining the geography of the earth, we got to remember, and this is 2 billion years ago. I mean, you could calculate it easily, you know, the first day of Brahma, 7 Manus, like, yeah. So all of these points, it's important, you know. Coming to the story with Varaha and his appearance and stuff like that, even that we got to reflect upon too. Pardon me? Right. So what I'm saying, coming to this aspect of the Bhagavatam, with Varaha and, you know, how he appeared, and then his pastimes, and then how the earth going to fall into the Garbhudha. You know, we have to keep those in consideration when we're speaking also, right?
I remember in 10th Canto, first chapter, I believe 17 sloka, Prabhupada writes a very striking word to me. He said, I'm paraphrasing, Krishna appeared in the form of Krishna Consciousness Society. We're talking about ISKCON. So then I was thinking, comparing Vasudeva and Devaki, they also received Krishna. Krishna appeared in their life. To make them convinced that he is the supreme origin, he didn't appear. Prabhupada makes a statement like this. He did not appear as a little child, even though they wanted a child. But he appeared as Narayan, four-handed form. To make them understand, I am that supreme you are. So here Varahadeva appeared, also they are now arguing or conversing whether he is the Supreme Lord. So if Krishna appear in my life, I have to also think like how, like because Prabhupada says Krishna Consciousness Movement appeared. Krishna appeared in the form of Krishna Consciousness Movement. So what are the criteria maybe need to be thought? So one day before yesterday, I forgot who gave class, or day before yesterday or before, that Swayambhuva Manu, Brahmaji was desperate. He could not figure it out how to, what to help in this creation. So he was in desperate situation, same as Vasudev Devaki. They were in desperate situation. It was not like a gentle environment when Lord appears. It's like a little sketchy. And then second point was that, so one has to be, I guess, desperate to receive the mercy of Krishna or Krishna appear in their life. This is just my speculation. I could be wrong. But that's how I see it. The second point is that this desperation maybe promotes or move one to dedicate in the process. Because Vasudev Devaki, in previous life, they went for 12 years. That's a long time, 12 years. Meditation just to have the Lord. Here, Brahmaji, Mother Malini Devi also mentioned in her class, there's a long period, right? There was a line like this, that he was contemplating long time for the Lord to appear. So, but it was not a pleasant long time. It was like a sadhaka long time, or worse than us. Like we all go through every day in our life, sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. Why? So that Krishna is awakened in our heart in the form of Krishna Prem. And then purification also takes place. Without sadhana, there is no purification. Then meditation is easier. And they will come. In a few days, we will read. I was reading this morning. Then after purification, then the revelation that the Lord appears. So it's similar like our life, what I see.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I was just thinking about
it. Is this, and I was thinking what was written in Nectar of Devotion about the price we have to pay to see the Lord is the eagerness. The more eager we are, and I think in those situations that you described, the devotees were very eager to get the darshan of the Lord or association of the Lord. So the principle of lalsa or the eagerness is... Yes. Yeah, it has to be with the sadhana. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I was just wanting to comment on what Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying about the desperation. And just reminded me of my spiritual master used to say that we always needed to be in emergency consciousness. Mm. And of course, it's challenging to maintain that all of the time. But just being careful about just taking it easy, you know, and just, because there's nothing negative happening in my life, I'm just comfortable. Mm. And it's very easy here, especially we have most of the time nice weather, and you know, so it's just something to really be careful about.
Thank you, Mata. Emergency.
I was just wondering, Lord Bor is such an unusual incarnation, and you know, from what I've heard, it's like Krishna appears in every species of life. Do we have any information about, you know, some of the major ones, but is there a scripture that tells about other incarnations that you know of? Pardon? Loka Bhagavatam. Okay. Can you give a couple of examples? And I'm talking about like there's 8 million, 400,000 species of life, and Krishna incarnates in every one of them. Do we know about some of the other ones besides those? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and also the verse I mentioned from 1:3:26. They are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. It's described that it's, we cannot count them there. I think the prominent ones are mentioned in Bhagavatam, though. But that's, yeah, it is mind-boggling for sure.
Connection with those species also, you know, of fishes, I'm the shark.
Yes.
Of beasts, I'm the lion. Of, you know, like this really. So that gives some a little more. What should I say? A little more clearer explanation of all these species and stuff like that.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Where I heard somebody say during the class many years back that Prabhupada says, or maybe somebody can correct me, that only human form incarnation in the spiritual world, all the animal form is just here, it's not in Vaikuntha. But you have a Bhagavad Gita right in front of you, right? If you look at 4 chapters, 7 verses, in the middle Prabhupada put a sloka, chapter 4, 7 verses, Srishti hetu shei murti prapanche avatare shei ishwar murti avatar nam dhare mayatita parabhame sabar avastan vishya avatari dhare avatar nam. 4.7. Found it in the purport?
I'm trying to see in the words. It's not separately described, the verse.
4.8, sorry.
4.8?
Not 7, yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
Can you read the translation?
Yeah. It's from Madhya Leela, 20th chapter, 263 to 64 verse. The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead whose soul descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar.
So that means all the form of the, all the species, according to Prabhupada's translation, and I understand also the Bengali, exist eternally in the spiritual world. Prabhupada gave them.
Like Lord Narasimha Dev, his already, it's also in Vaikuntha. So, and Lord Ram is also in Vaikuntha. So, as we heard from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah. But that's a good point that all these incarnations are actually have a place in Vaikuntha. And so, if there are innumerable incarnations, that means innumerable incarnations have Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world.
Spoke a lot already. Sorry about that, really. I'm a big mouth. I think it's in Ecclesiastic or Revelation thing that Jesus would come back in 1,000 years. You know, and for us, we say Kalki will come back in 1,000 years. And also it's stated there that he would set the new utopia or the new world order. So sometimes, you know, it brings a clue, like, well, are they the same? You know, I mean, it's interesting, you know. Because the Mataji was speaking about Jesus yesterday, so it came to mind, you know. That. Yeah.
So you are saying Jesus is funny? You know, I mean, in the world, people
I was in India a few weeks ago, and they were talking about Kalki will come next year. I was thinking they definitely have not read the scriptures. I think there's one village, they're starting to dig in that village, and they're finding some temples, and they were predicting now Kalki is going to come next year. I said, yeah, I was thinking you have to wait for 400,000 years at least. Yes, Mata.
I just wanted to say something about fame. As you're speaking about how it's not our desire, like we are not performing this devotional service to get fame, but it comes. And I was thinking, from looking at it from an outer objective perspective, that it's important because that's how people become influenced. You know, that people follow people who are famous. So it's like something that can be used in Krishna's service, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Mataji. I think the for a devotee, the motivation is not to get for fame, but a devotee uses the fame for service. And nowadays, this term is used called influencer. It's a very famous term. Like, you can become influencer in any field. And the idea of that influencer is to actually promote that area of expertise. So all devotees are also influencers, because that's what Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to be, is to be preaching, either through our actions or through our words. And then the fame will come, but it's not the motivation to do bhakti, though. It's not our motivation to get into bhakti.
Yes, so that's also a thought of mine when you talked about fame, because you have personalities from the beginning that was assisting Srila Prabhupada, and all they wanted to do was to serve him.
Yes.
But we still know them today. You have Pushkar and his art, you know, you have Malati, of course. You know, these different personalities, Shama Sundar, all these people, they just wanted to, you know, serve Prabhupada and assist him in whatever way they could. And so, like she's saying, the influence. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, it does say in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is, that Paramatma is an observer. However, there's also guidance, right? I mean, he is neutral, it does say that. However, but for his devotee, there's guidance, right? So, two birds sitting on a tree. But he's also prompting, right? And if you want the guidance, then and as a devotee, hopefully we do, you know, then there's the prompting, you know, to do this, don't do that, or to say this, don't say that, you know, whatever those direction is. And I also thought it was interesting in the verse where they use the word argue. And I thought, oh, there is a place for that, you know, in Christian. I guess it stimulates the, you know, the intellect, but so thank you.
that word struck me also, and I was thinking that it indicates that there, even then, there's individuality. You know, people are different. We have different opinions. We think differently, but still, we can work together.
Yes. Thank you.
I was thinking when Jesus came, there were hundreds of, what I read many years back, scribe and priest, but they could not recognize the Messiah. So Judas was bribed with silver coin. So that means even if Jesus comes back, they did not have a qualification to identify who is Messiah at that time. How they will come up with that, if even when Jesus comes back, that they will recognize him? They have to bribe somebody? This is just my, I was just thinking like, they could not recognize. How, where is the guarantee they will recognize again?
Yeah, I mean, we know that from Mahabharata. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, right now you have a problem with the Brahmaji, Marichi, and Narad Muni. They are also arguing.
Yeah.
Because they could not recognize whether he is Vishnu or just a big pig, elephant size, whether he is God or some kind of other. So it's interesting. Similar.
The thing is, it's the same as when Krishna was here.
Yeah.
On the planet. You know, some people, they didn't recognize him. You know, as being the Supreme Person of Godhead, he was just somebody. So you have to be, you have to be qualified. You have to be qualified to see Jesus. You have to be qualified to see Krishna. He just doesn't reveal himself to anybody. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to become qualified so we can actually see, right?
So one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada, right? Can you see God? And say you have to be qualified to see God. And
yeah, he said,
what is your qualification? You need to have the eyes to see the God. You don't have the eyes right now to see the God. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.